All right, we got top-ranked boxing coming tonight. Shakur Stevenson missed weight yesterday, so he'll be stripped of his WBC and WBO junior lightweight belts, even if he beats Robson Canseco in the main event. But Canseco will win both belts if he beats Stevenson. So it's a fascinating night. Coverage of the main card begins at 10 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Deportes, with ESPN Plus coverage of the prelims beginning at 6 in English and in Spanish. All right, time for Best of the Week. All right, and now the moment everyone looks forward to.
Oh my goodness! There we go!
You learned a hell of a lot here.
Okay, can't wait.
New York City, man, you never know.
I'm going to say that was a moment you're going to live to regret.
Run the ball.
This is what happened when you have your cornbread at recess and they trying to take it from you.
What is this guy doing?
Jason just said he's all excited to be here for the smashing of the helmets. Be careful what you wish for.
We'll do Dominique's power rankings a little bit later. Last week he had Minnesota at number 3. They looked a little more like number 2 last night.
I mean, my word.
Darius Slay, and then he gives the ball to James Harden, who I guarantee you didn't pass it to anybody.
We're going
to
up the swag a little bit.
Lukey Power.
J-E-T-S. Jets.
Keep talking.
It only took 6 years, but Diana got a bold prediction right.
My daughter is now Garrett Greenberg. My son is Wilson Greenberg. Kimberly Martin just walked directly through Dominique's shot, but she wasn't tall enough to block it. So the entire crew in here had a nervous breakdown.
Normally, I do try to upstage Dominique, but that was not intentional at all.
All's well that ends well. What a fun week it has been, and it's only going up a notch in our final hour. David Pollack is ready to go. He'll join us for the entire hour here as we talk football on this Football Friday. He was watching the game last night. He has thoughts. He's got a big college weekend to get ready for. Ryan Clark is up with us this morning as well. Sam Acho Graziano ready to roll. We're at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase, and here comes hour number 2. It begins with last night, the kickoff of week 3. We'll get there right after we start here. The bounce back Browns. They get a win that they desperately needed last night in thrilling fashion. We'll talk about it. Then the Battle of the Bays. This thing could get ugly for both legendary quarterbacks. We'll tell you why neither should be looking forward to this game. And then finally, Jerry Jones said exactly what? He might have said the craziest thing of all time, but we'll explain exactly what he was thinking. All that and a whole lot more as we get up with this hour starting right now with the game of the night. Sacho, here we go. Mitch Trubisky. Was it his last stand? Steelers visiting the Browns, and they're visiting Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb gets less conversation per greatness, which is a terrible way of phrasing that, than any player in the NFL.
No, that's a great way of phrasing that. Conversation per greatness. Nick Chubb needs a whole lot more. He ran for over 100 yards. The team ran for 171.
He ran for 113. Amari Cooper caught that touchdown, and the Browns had an early 7-0 lead. Then George Pickens made what might to this point be the play of the year.
And this angle does not do this play justice. The other angle does. Watch the other angle. I mean, minus like, I think Odell got a little further back on the catch, but that catch is impeccable.
Well, I'm glad that you asked for the Odell comparison because we can give it to you directly. Look at that. And it was Odell watching it. That kid, George Pickens, is special. Steelers then continue the drive, and it caps with this. That's Najee Harris taking it in for
the
score.
Najee Harris showing it's not just Nick Chubb on the other side that can run the rock. I can run the rock, too. Y'all calm down. Y'all chill out. I'm going to do my thing.
But the other side, it was not just Amari Cooper. How about David Njoku having himself a night?
Great route. Obviously, Edmonds, you can't back up at the goal line. You have to have your eyes on your work and stay inside.
Browns would miss the extra point, though. That killed them last week. 13-7 Cleveland. Fourth quarter, they're up 16-14. Third and one. It's Amari Cooper again. Bear in mind, the Cowboys traded him for a fifth-round draft pick.
He's been a huge addition to this team. And obviously, last season, Jerry Jones pretty much said, get rid of him. Well, the Browns are happy to have him.
Well, that would lead to this on a fourth down. Kevin Stefanski dialing up Nick Chubb, and he pays off. 23-14 Cleveland. 3 minutes to go. Same score. Steelers are first and 10. Trubisky needs something. He needs his tight end, Pat Freiermuth.
And he showed up big time in the fourth quarter. There were two critical catches by number 88 in the fourth quarter that kept Pittsburgh in this game.
Yeah, here's the second one. That was the first. Here's the second. They keep it alive. They kick a field goal, 23-17. So last week, an onside kick killed Cleveland. What was going through the mind of every Browns fan right now when the ball is just sitting there to be had, but it goes out of bounds. The Browns hang on and they win. So the question for Mike Tomlin after, are you considering a quarterback change?
I'm not in that mindset. I'm interested in reviewing this tape and looking at the totality of it and figuring out how we collectively get better. So the answer to that question is definitively no.
Okay, so, I mean, you ask a quarterback for a definitive answer, and he gives it to you. Definitively, no. You see the odds to win the conference in the AFC right now, and not last night, obviously, not having an enormous impact on that. The Steelers' offense has really struggled, and Trubisky in particular in the middle of it. Fair or unfair to put it all on him? I'll get to David's thoughts in a moment, but I do want to start with RC, my beloved former Steeler. Mike Tomlin says definitively no. If you were in his chair, what would you be thinking about your quarterback situation right now?
That is going to change soon, and it has to change sometime. I mean, much like we heard Kenny Pickett's name change throughout the broadcast yesterday, this is a guy who we all understand is going to play. Now, we don't necessarily know when that's going to happen, but it seems like with every loss, with every offensive struggle, we inch closer and closer to seeing Kenny Pickett make his debut for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, when you make a decision like this, though, Greeny, you have to be sure. You have to be in a place where no one ever questions again who should be your quarterback. And maybe that's letting Mitchell Trubisky play a quarter too long, a half too long, a game too long, so you know definitively that it's his fault. We also have to look at this team in totality. They can't stop the run, whether it was Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, or even Jacoby Brissett getting outside the pocket. Amari Cooper goes for over 100 yards. So defensively, they aren't being the team that they need to be without T.J. Watt and if Micah Fitzpatrick isn't turning the football over. And then offensively, last night they were able to create a little run with Jalen Warren and Najee Harris, but it's still not the same Pittsburgh Steelers of old. So I think Coach Tomlin is trying to figure out, is this all Mitchell Trubisky, or can we do more around him with our team and Matt Canada? I think he still needs to see more, and that's why he's going to dive into the tape for this break they have this weekend.
They have the mini bye now. David, do you need to see more? Would you make a quarterback change in Pittsburgh right now?
I think what RC mentioned at the end really sticks out to me. He said the name Matt Canada, and he talked about the others. Like, we could talk about Nick Chubb and having a lot of success last night. He also gets the luxury of sometimes, occasionally, getting to the second level without being touched. The play calling for the Steelers, there's nothing easy whatsoever. Like, Najee Harris is a grown man. He's an adult. You saw him. You know, his touchdown run was awesome. He had to break. He had three people contact him before he got 2 yards to get a touchdown. So I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to come in and save this offense. They got to have better structure offensively, and the offensive line's got to pave the way and create some kind of balance so they can run the football. So this isn't going to change, Greeny. Like, we thought the AFC North was going to be murderous row. You look at Cincinnati now. You look at, obviously, Baltimore losing to Miami. You look at what Pittsburgh is. I'm not sure, and now you got Cleveland. I'm not sure this division is near as good as we thought it was.
No, certainly to start the season, it's been something of a surprise on the negative side. I'll get to Cleveland in a second because the way it's shaped up, think of where we'd be with the Browns right now if they hadn't given away a 13-point lead in the final 2 minutes to the Jets. That said, let's just quickly go back to the quarterback, though. The situation in Pittsburgh, how do the people you talk to expect this to play out?
At some point, the rookie first-rounder plays. The history tells us that, right? And Trubisky is not performing at a level that's going to hold him off for long, especially if they keep losing games. That's the thing. If they were winning and Trubisky was in and out and erratic and inconsistent, you could live with that. But eventually, they'll make the pivot. Pickett comes into the league with as much experience as any rookie quarterback in recent memory at the college level, so they feel like he could probably do it. But right now, they want to see if they can do it with Trubisky, and they feel like he's shown enough to merit continued starts in this offense. The question is, would it be any better with Kenny Pickett in there? The line's going to still be the same, right? I mean, like, the defense still isn't going to have T.J. Watt for another couple of weeks.
That's a big point.
I mean, there's a lot there that's wrong that doesn't have anything to do with the quarterback.
You're exactly right. I think that as you watch them, you realize just how valuable T.J. Watt is. I understand he doesn't fix their offensive line, but that defense just doesn't look even remotely the same quickly. How much of it is fair to put on the quarterback? How much of this is fair for us to put on Trubisky?
Not a lot. I mean, minimal. Less than half, 25% or less. I mean, partly because they've given up over 100 rushing yards every single game, number one. Number two, defensively, you talked about that. T.J. Watt's like an eraser. Like, he the turnovers he forces, the sacks at critical moments. Yes, Cam Hayward does that as well, but T.J. Watt does that too. Number two, and then number three, the offensive line. You heard Pollock just say it. And not only is the quarterback feeling pressure, the backs, Najee Harris is getting hit in the backfield. Changing quarterbacks doesn't solve that. So as much as you want to say, man, put in Pickett in there, it's not going to change anything. So no, you can't put all this on Mitch Trubisky. It has to be all the Matt Canada, all the offense and also the defense has to get better too.
So then let's go to the other side then. And David brought it up. And look, I mean, the Ravens gave away a 21-point lead last week. Otherwise, we'd be having a very different conversation about them. Lamar Jackson was brilliant last week. I think it was the best game of his entire career. Steelers don't look so good. Cincinnati, quite surprisingly, 0-2 and still struggling with their offensive line. David, just how good could this Browns team be? And I will remind everyone that while the Deshaun Watson thing is, the conversation has not been about football, and fully correctly so. This is not a football story, but he is going to come back. Mm-hmm. And if he is anywhere near what he was before, you know, the last time we saw him, they're getting an elite quarterback that they're going to plug into this team in the final quarter of the season. So just how good could the Browns be, David Pollack?
Well, you know, listen, I'll temper it too, because if you're watching their defense isn't as good as I thought it would be as either. So I think, you know, you think of Miles Garrett, you think, you know, Clowney now being injured. You know, I thought about, you think about pass rush, this is a team that get after the quarterback. They haven't been as great as I feel like they should have been up to this point. I don't know a thing about this division. I don't know. I want to say I trust Baltimore, yeah, and I know who they are, but what the heck were they doing against Miami? J.K. Dobbins, by the way, will be a huge addition to Baltimore. When he comes back, he will change that offense and make Lamar even more deadly. I don't think they'll be stupid enough to get burnt in the secondary and give up big plays like they were and fold in the fourth quarter consistently. But, I mean, listen, I think all the teams are okay. I think Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh are going to be okay. I think Baltimore has a chance to be the best.
Well, you see, Caesars agrees with you. They're the favorites. Cleveland's still sitting just a fraction behind Cincinnati. How about it, RC? How good could this team be when they get Watson back and then after they get Watson back?
I think they can be extreme. I think they can be one of the top-tier teams in the AFC. But David makes an exceptional point. We came into this season thinking that this team was ready-made around Deshaun Watson because we expected an exceptional run game and a defense that could rush the pass, or a cornerback in Denzel Ward that could shut down an entire side of the field. Grant Delpit stepping up and elevating at that safety position as a starter, and then John Johnson running the whole thing. We haven't necessarily seen that, and we watched two backers go down last night. So this defense has to get close to what it was last year. Coach Wood, the defense has to find a way for them to be better, turn the football over, and create shorter fields. But what we've seen from Jacoby Brissett, and I said this last night on Twitter, he's been better than the other three quarterbacks he's played the first 3 weeks. I'm not saying that that's going to continue each and every week down the season, but they have not been at a deficiency at the quarterback position with what he's been able to do, especially the last 2 weeks with Amari Cooper. So as we're watching this team to continue to gel, they can be at the top of the AFC North or near it when we see Deshaun Watson return, giving them an opportunity, if he's even close to what he was the last time we saw him, giving them an opportunity to be a playoff team.
That's exactly right. And who knows what damage they might be able to do when they get there. So week three is underway after Brissett and the Browns find a way to beat the Steelers last night with Amari Cooper emerging as his favorite target. That's where the hour begins, but we have so much more football to get to as we roll on. Tua and the Dolphins have been an early surprise in this NFL season. Will they get a rude awakening from Josh Allen and the Bills on Sunday in South Florida? We're talking about it then. Did you hear what Jerry Jones said about his quarterbacks yesterday? It may be completely crazy, but we'll explain exactly what he meant as we roll on. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, looking ahead to some interesting Sunday matchups. Graziano, Buffalo, Miami. Who has the edge, Stephon Diggs or Tyreek Hill?
I'm giving it to Diggs right now. I mean, he's playing at a different level from everybody else in the league through 2 weeks at the wide receiver position. He'll face off against Xavien Howard, but I just think right now there's no matchup that he can't defeat. And we talked earlier about the pass rush for Buffalo, maybe slowing down the Dolphins' passing attack as a whole. Give me some more Stephon Diggs this week.
Well, let's stay on this game then. RC, who has the edge, the Buffalo defense or the Miami offense?
You know what? I'm going to say the Buffalo defense, just because the Buffalo defense majors in the things you have to attack an offense like the Miami Dolphins. They're good at stopping the run. They have linebackers that go side to side. They also create pressure with just a four-man rush. Leslie Frazier isn't someone that likes to push the pressure with adding five and six to the rush. So I think the Buffalo defense is ready-made for Miami.
And then let's talk about the quarterback. Sacho, who has the advantage, Josh Allen or Tua?
I'll give it to Tua. I think the fourth quarter last week was no anomaly against Baltimore, number one. Number two, Buffalo is banged up. Look who Tua's going against. Buffalo's banged up. Dane Jackson is going to be out. Micah Hyde is possibly going to be out. You're going to have two rookies at corner on the outside. You won't have one of your star safeties playing defense. And so for that reason, I'm giving Tua Tagovailoa the edge in this matchup.
For this particular game, I want to just make it clear, because people will hear that and they will raise an eyebrow, because most of the conversation is that Josh Allen is the best player in the entire National Football League. And I believe, yes, I recognize my colleague from the great state of Louisiana. Go ahead, RC.
Raising an eyebrow, because I'm raising an eyebrow this week, Greeny. I can't even freaking talk, and this is what I get paid to do. What is he talking? I don't give a dang who ain't playing for Buffalo. We talking about Josh Mickey Ficky Allen. Are you serious? This man was sitting on the sideline late in the third quarter against the returning number one seed in the AFC. They went up to Los Angeles. They throw two picks, and it don't even matter. They still blow him out. And you're going to say, you're going to take Tua. Don't. Miami fans, I know y'all be sensitive. I'm not saying Tua Tagovailoa isn't better. I'm not saying that Tua Tagovailoa doesn't have Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. But if you go to South Beach right now and you go to Wet Willie's and you ask them people, Miami Dolphin fans, do you want Josh Allen or Tua Tagovailoa? Ain't none of them Miami fans gonna pick Tua. And so I don't know why Sam Acho is over here watching all this film and reading these injury reports and overanalyzing this. In no world ever, any week in 2022, do you get that option and you pick Tua Tagovailoa. Josh Allen all day, every day, twice this Sunday.
I think most people agree with that, Sacho. That's the point. Candidly, so do I. For the record, his name is Joshua Patrick Allen. His middle name is not Mickey Ficky, but we all understand what he means. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, I Josh Allen is my favorite quarterback. Let's just let that all be known. I think he's a better quarterback. But what I'm saying is that in this matchup, like in what's going to happen with who Tua's playing against and also who's calling plays for Tua, we saw what Tua was able to do with Mike McDaniel last week. Two guys, 11 catches. One guy with 171 yards, one guy with 190 in the fourth quarter as well. So for me, yes, Josh Allen is a better quarterback. But I'm also saying, man, I think that Micah Hyde loss will be a bigger deal than I think that's people huge. Are giving it credit for. I think that matters. I think Mike McDaniel being the coordinator and us trying to figure out how is he going to be and what kind of plays he's going to call, I think that matters. No, Tua is not a better quarterback than Josh Allen. But when it comes to this matchup and who has the edge, I think I'll give it to Tua.
He could have bigger numbers maybe in this weekend's game.
Something you don't like about the way they're calling plays, Ken Dorsey for Josh Allen for 2 weeks? I mean, that's pretty good.
He's been great as well.
I just feel like they're so locked in right now. out. Yes, the defensive injuries are a concern. But Buffalo, the way they dominate on offense, the way that they, you know, four out of their last seven games, they haven't punted, right? I mean, they don't necessarily give Tua Tagovailoa the chance to come back and beat them.
Sam, yes, I may have a friend for you. I may have a friend. Cindy, let's put the picks up on the screen. All I know is this part of it. David Pollack is picking the Dolphins.
Not even such
so
a
maybe
there.
You have a little support this morning. Go ahead, David. Why do you like Miami in this matchup?
First of all, no support for that comment. I completely support RC, and I love he was trying so hard not to curse. And he was trying to keep it together and be so PC. He was like, man, are you – what is wrong with you? But and I don't disagree. But here's the thing I've learned with College Game Day. Every week when you put a graphic up and everybody agrees, that's a graphic that you take pictures of and it's on social media later that you look stupid. So I saw all y'all on the Bills this morning, so I'm like, I'm going on the Dolphins. I think I agree the injuries could matter. But I love what RC said about Leslie Frazier too. Like, they're not going to blitz. Like, they're going to rush with four. They can get so much pressure with just four. They can play. They can protect. The secondary can protect themselves of the Bills because of that great D-line up front. But, man, Waddle and Tyreek, what I expect to see from this week is dink and dunk. It's not going to be home run balls. Yeah. You know, the Bills are going to protect themselves with their safeties. It's going to be short throws, but you got freaks that can catch it on both sides and make plays. But Mike McDaniel's completely changed Tua, and this offense with these weapons are just silly stupid.
So he doesn't actually like the Dolphins to win.
No, he doesn't. That's correct.
He's taking one for the team. That's pretty much what this is.
I like it. Yeah, because all morning long, our graphics have been exactly what David has taught. We've all agreed on every pick so far, so David is the only one going in the opposite direction. All right, we'll see what winds up happening. For the sake of my buddy Sam Acho, I hope Tua throws for 600 yards on Sunday. In the meantime, David, we got a really interesting game this weekend in your milieu here. We got number 21 Wake Forest hosting number 5 Clemson. The Demon Deacons are looking to end a 13-year losing streak in this series. But remember, Wake Forest last year, they won the division after replacing Clemson, which had won 6 straight. This is only a 7.5-point spread, which is a very interesting note. So, David Pollack, the Clemson, we all understand their history. We all understand Dabo. We all understand all the winning they have done in recent years. Are they on upset alert, the number 5 team in the country this weekend?
I think they are. I think this has a chance to be really close. The last 4 games, Green, in this series, Clemson's won by over 30 points a game. Well, here's the thing. Sam Hartman has been there for 40 years. Like, he's got so much experience at the quarterback spot for Wake Forest. They've got a really good offense, a good offensive system. Greeny, I'm not sold yet on Clemson's offense. I think they're better than they were a year ago, but they're still not elite. And until they show me they're elite, a team like Wake Forest can have success. They're going to be at home. It helps their offensive line, which is a big deal. But I just think the experience, the playmaking on offense with Wake Forest will absolutely keep them in the game. Is Clemson's offense ready to show their elite and step up to the table and score when they need to?
And everything in the world is at stake. I think there is a sense amongst the people we talk to here, the ACC can't have a loss. The ACC champ to get in probably has to be unbeaten. So this is a monster game for both teams. Let's go to Oklahoma. Is Oklahoma, we see they're good. Are they national championship level good?
I don't think they're national championship level good, but I think what you have to look at is culture with Brent Venables. He's completely changed the culture of what OU football is. And if I'm an OU fan, I'm okay with this over what I saw with Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley was amazing. He did a great job, went to the college football playoffs. What I see now is some dogs. I see some guys that want to fight. When you watch Brent Venables on the sideline, by the way, Greeny, that dude's like, he's got, there's a get back guy that has a leash on him the whole time. Like, he is intense. He is in your face. Like, they will have a tenacity to them. They'll play better defense than they've played in the past. And I think OU is on a trajectory that's going to continue. They're going to climb and they're going to be a great football team.
All right, one of several really interesting games this week. We also have Florida-Tennessee. We'll look forward to these as we continue. David with us through the entirety of the hour. Let me mention the big game Saturday night coming your way. A Big Ten battle at the Shoe. C.J. Stroud at number 3 Ohio State hosting Wisconsin. Chris and Kirk will have the call 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. All right, RC Steelers may have lost last night, but one of their rookies put on a show. Where does this catch from George Pickens rank on RC's list of the all-time greats. He will tell us as we continue, and we will hear this from Graziano. Let's go. Which tandem recorded the most instances of 100 rushing yards and 100 receiving yards in the same game? That's the question. The answer is next. Let's get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, so the wording on the question's a little complicated, but it's actually a great question.
Yeah.
So Amari Cooper and Nick Chubb each went over 100 yards in last night's game.
Yeah.
Which NFL tandem had the most games like that, the receiver and the running back, when they each had 100 yards in the game? Which two?
I mean, there's a lot of potential choices, right? Like your mind goes to, you know, somebody here said Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, you know, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin. Like, I do like the question. I was tempted to go with those Cowboy guys. I really was. I think I'm going to go with Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce.
That's not right. I thought you were going to talk yourself into the right answer, which is Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison. I heard you say it.
Yep, that
they
was
did
one
it
of the
22 times.
Yeah.
Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin are next with 20. Then Barry Sanders and Herman Moore. Pretty sneaky
wow.
there.
That would have been, yeah.
Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed way down the list.
More.
Okay, that was fair. That's a good question. Give that one to Hambo, 23-17.
Oh, change the...
So he is within a field goal.
Faces?
And that's a fascinating emoji. Okay, so that's the question.
Sure,
now it's time for the tweets. It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweets.
Get in the gym, bro.
Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip.
Baker.
Bruh. Lord.
As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet. I can't even do it with a straight face. It's everybody's favorite part of Get Up. My favorite part of watching football games is following along Ryan Clark's always interesting tweets, and he will now explain some of them. We start with Nick Chubb from last night. Here we go. RC tweeted, Nick Chubb walks into every field dressed like the uniform man in the poster in the locker room. No extra swag, extra clothing, or anything that isn't going to make him a better player. Dude's dang Captain America. Only cares about team. He's the jump on a grenade type of unselfish. RC, explain that tweet.
Listen, Nick Chubb, like Greeny, in every locker room, there's this picture of this man that you're supposed to dress like. All he wears is gloves, he wears his socks the right way, and cleats. That's exactly what Nick Chubb does. He doesn't wear anything else because he doesn't want any extra frivolous things in his life. He is cutting out all toxicity. And then when he goes on the field and play, it's about ball. You tell me the last time you were able to look at Nick Chubb's face, whether with his helmet on or with it off, and you know what the hell was going on in the game. You don't know how many yards he got. You don't know what the score is, because his face always looks the same, like nothing is going on. And all all he does is churn out yards, make plays, even so much so after he scored the touchdown last week, when nobody else told him not to score the touchdown, he said that it's his fault, he has to get down. This dude is all about team, all about winning and running the pigskin. He's an absolute joy to watch, but I just wish he'd at least smile after one of these touchdowns he scores on my former team.
I'm with you. He deserves so much more attention. His ratio of attention to greatness is the lowest of any player in the NFL. Let's go to the other running back last night. RC tweeted, Najee just embarrassing folks. I mean, that's not a stiff arm. That's a dang right hook. He just punching on folks' oldest son. That's not okay. They got to jump him. Make it a fair fight. RC, explain that tweet.
Listen, Fridays is a great movie. I had the VHS in high school, and then when Debo had to punch Red and he uppercut him, and then Red Pops came over, he said, you want some too, old man? And he said, no. That's exactly what it looked like last night when Najee Harris was running the ball across the goal line. Yeah, I know John Johnson's coming up trying to make a play. He's a big, strong free safety too, but Najee is just disrespectful with that right hand. There's a clip of him in practice during camp, and they're throwing like medicine balls at people, and he really treats other athletes on the field who are elite level humans the exact same way. Najee is 250 and he runs every bit of it, but he also needs every bit of it because that was a 2-yard run where the man had to fight for his freaking life like they dropped him off on the beach on Saving Private Ryan. Somebody got a block for Najee Harris or he's going to have to stiff arm his way to an average of 65 yards a game.
He's not getting any help. That's a great one. All right, one more. And this one was from the catch heard around the world. RC tweeted, oh, my goodness, George Pickens, the answer to all of our Matt Canada woes. Just throw it to him, Mitchell, while you have the time. He can save your job for a week, maybe. He's going to make plays for you, man, for us. RC, explain that tweet.
For the love of God, Greedy, I was just doing it for me. I wanted something to feel good about. I had my Bumblebee jersey on last night, Greedy, my football tights. I even had on my socks. I was more dressed up, and I had more swag in my Steeler uniform last night than Nick Chubb. And I was there for the team, and I was in support. And God darn it, we got a catch by George Pickens, and it made me feel good. One, because Mitchell Trubisky threw it. Two, because George Pickens caught it like we know he would. Just give him a chance. If Matt Canada won't call it, if they don't let you audible Mitchell, I don't care. Just throw it up and give those guys a chance. Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, you have talent on the outside. They have to be used, whether it's the right side of the field or the left side of the field. Allow those guys to make plays. This offense is anemic, and the difference, if you go back to last week between New England and Pittsburgh, was Mac Jones gave Nelson Aguilar a chance to make a play one-on-one, and he did, and they win by 3 points. They need more of this and less of that sideways, sidewinding, tornado dust storm offense that they run.
George Pickens, were it not for the injury concerns coming out of college, significant injury problems that he had, he would have been a very high draft pick. He is a super talented player, and that is Ryan Clark explaining his tweets coming off last night. Next to the NBA in an entirely different story, and obviously one that most people have been following since yesterday, the Boston Celtics suspending their coach, Ime Udoka, for the entirety of the upcoming season, and there is a chance that he will not coach for them again. Our Adrian Wojnarowski with the story, reporting that Udoka had an intimate relationship with a female member of the franchise's staff, which is a violation of the team's code of conduct. Udoka released his first comments on the issue in a statement saying, I want to apologize to our players, fans, the entire Celtics organization, and my family for letting them down. I'm sorry for putting the team in this difficult situation, and I accept the team's decision. Out of respect for everyone involved, I will have no further comment. And so Woj gets up with us early here from the West Coast. Woj, and obviously this was a story that got so much attention after you broke it yesterday, early in the day. And the question I think so many are asking is, why is this punishment so severe?
Well, ultimately, Greeny, Brad Stevens, the Celtics president and ownership, they're going to have to explain that. They may do that as soon as today. There may be an availability with Brad Stevens, but from what I'm told, that I think from certainly Brad Stevens' point of view, as the president of the organization and certainly the executive who hired Ime Udoka, that there was a break in trust from his perspective with Ime Udoka. of judgment. And I think for the Celtics, you know, the very real possibility exists that Udoka never coaches this team again. Not only is this a one-year suspension, but there's no guarantee, and there was no assurance made to Udoka in the last days as they were really negotiating what this would look like, that he would ever be back as coach. They've left it open-ended beyond this season. And so it is severe. It is largely unprecedented for a sitting head coach to be facing this scenario short of firing. And that is the question many are asking. Why didn't they just cut ties with Udoka if they were going to go this far with the punishment? Stevens is going to have to explain that, but there's no question. There are many around the league and many who have believed in Udoka, who have thought very highly of him and certainly know the job he did on the court in the last year, who do have questions about the severity of it. And again, why didn't Boston just walk away from him entirely?
It is worth reminding, I suppose, that in his first season as the head coach of the Celtics, they went all the way to the finals. And as of yesterday morning, they were the betting favorite to win the championship this coming season. We'll see how this impacts all of that. You mentioned Brad Stevens, who, of course, was the coach of the Celtics for several years before moving up to the front office last season. And so many will also ask the question, could he wind up being the coach again at some point this year?
Greeny, my sense is that Brad Stevens's plan and commitment is going to be to support Joe Mazzulla, who we're told is going to be the interim coach. Mazzulla's 34 years old. He was on Brad Stevens's staff, continued with Udoka, was a finalist for the Utah head coaching job, and is very well regarded within the Celtics, within the league. This is somebody who is going to be a head coach in the NBA. It comes much sooner at 34 years old. But Mazzulla has the respect of his players in Boston. This is a group that he's got relationships with. He played a big part in their success on the defensive end last year, working with Udoka on the league's best defense. And this is an opportunity of a lifetime to get a championship caliber team in your first job, again, with the interim label. But I think Brad Stevens is going to be a resource for Joe Mazzulla. He's going to be somebody he can lean on. They worked together again during Stevens' time as head coach. But I think right now what Brad Stevens would like to do is see if he can get him maybe another veteran assistant to join Joe Mazzulla on the Celtics bench.
So that's the on-the-court piece of this. And as Woj, you said a moment ago, hopefully some more answers will come to the off-the-court piece as this day goes on. Outstanding work as always, Woj. Thanks for getting up early for us here this morning. We will continue back to football. We will go in just a moment. Jerry Jones had some comments yesterday that certainly surprised a lot of people, but we will offer the only explanation for why it made perfect sense for him to make them. They're next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and Dan Graziano, let's run the hurry up on this busy football Friday.
Giants rookie Kayvon Thibodeau could make his NFL debut Monday night against the Cowboys. He has suffered a knee injury in the preseason, has not played in either of the first two games. He's a high draft pick for whom the Giants have high hopes right away, and he would help their pass rush if he could get out there Monday night against the Cowboys. Let's stay on that game. Let's make this a Monday night football themed run the hurry up. Michael Gallup, Cowboys wide receiver, tore that ACL at the tail end of last year, has yet to play, but the Cowboys have put him in full practices this week in the hopes that he holds up under that activity and can make his season debut on Monday night against the Giants. Obviously, this would be a boost to Cooper Rush and the Cowboys pass game. Eventually, of course, Dak Prescott, assuming there's no quarterback controversy there in Dallas. And then speaking of Dak Prescott, he's out, look at him, he's throwing little, yellow, like softball things. This is 10 days post-surgery. So this is what we were told after the surgery. 7 to 10 days, he could start to grip and throw again. He still has stitches in that thumb where it was repaired. He's still probably a week or so away from potentially being able to play in a game, but this is the next step in his rehab. He's out there on the practice field throwing, even though he's not yet throwing an actual football.
Well, it's worth a reminder, as you see on your screen there, that they did not place him on IR. Right. So that would have taken him out of action for 4 games after week one. The expectation is maybe he comes back sooner than that. Meanwhile, Cooper Rush, of course, beat Cincinnati on Sunday. You need to hear what the Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, had to say about that yesterday.
Wouldn't it be something if you had a dilemma as to which way you go? You do that if he gets 10 wins. Same thing had happened with Prescott. I think like that.
So you'd want that? You'd want that controversy?
Of course I would.
Okay.
Of course that means we'd want, if it comes in here and played as well as Prescott played, Rush played that well over these next games ahead, I'd walk New York to get there.
RC is losing it. Pollock is hearing it for the first time. But my favorite part of that is when he says, I think like that. that's the most telling part. That's a man who once told us in his world, 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah.
RC, he thinks like that. He'd love a quarterback controversy. What do we think?
Hey, you know how like you watch those movies and this dude was like messing up his entire life and then he finally gets his life together. He got like a nice family and a good job. And then he goes and does something intentionally wrong because he just knows it's going to be effed up at the end anyway. That's who Jerry Jones is now. Jerry Jones has just now figured out, you know what? At some point, this is going to go bad. So even if we're having a good day, I'm going to say something that totally throws off the entire train from the good tracks. And that's what Jerry did. Everything was fine. We could say we want Cooper Rush to win and that Dak Prescott is our quarterback. Hey, how about this? Let's even remember that Dak is one of the very few quarterbacks in the league that you just call by one name. You just say Dak. Everybody knows who that is. Nobody calls him Prescott. Greeny, have you ever called him Prescott?
Never.
You only introduce him as Prescott when we start the segment. Everybody knows that. Jerry knows what he's doing, bro. Because you know what? Something's going to happen Monday. And if Cooper Rush plays well, you know what we're going to lead with on Tuesday? Oh, my God. It could be a quarterback controversy. And then if he doesn't play well, it's going to... God, Jerry has lost his mind, and he's not going to get what he wants. This is what Jerry does, and he does it for you, Greeny. He watches the show. He knows what the hell is going on. You know who he did this for? He did this for you and Stephen A. Now, Stephen A. going to smoke a cigar, and you're going to have a good weekend because Jerry Jones gave y'all this alley-oop, and you just got to dunk it like DeAndre Jordan.
That's exactly right. David, go ahead.
I just, did y'all hear Ryan's voice? Like, it got higher and higher. It just bothered him so much. This is what we do. But he's exactly right. Jerry Jones does this because he knows Greeny's coming on Get Up, and he's going to talk about him, and he's going to count his money and continue to print money because they're the Dallas Cowboys. Like, what other owner do we consistently hear from?
Nope.
Nobody. Nobody. We don't hear from owners.
None.
Yes, I mean, this is exact. Cooper Rush, really? Really?
Danny, you were the first one who said, like, he's got us. Like, he's got us right where he wants us. I admit it. What can I tell you? I can't not play that. But what's the alternative? Jerry Jones just said, I'd love to have a quarterback controversy. Am I supposed to pretend it didn't happen?
No, this is great. What was your line on Nick Chubb, like the lowest like conversation to greatness?
Right.
The Cowboys had the highest conversation to greatness
ratio
in the NFL, considering how little, you know, sort of winning they've done over the last couple decades. Look, I mean, but Jerry Jones believes all publicity is good publicity. As long as we're talking about his team, he is happy. So he's so good morning, Jerry.
That's like
congratulations.
A 5.0 ratio. Like, it's like so much conversation, so little greatness.
That's it. Do they win the next two games? He's got the Giants and the Commanders in their next 2 weeks in the division with Cooper. Cooper Rush. And if he wins those two games, he's going to hand the ball back to Prescott in a really good spot in the division right now.
Or will he?
Is he going or well played. Well played. Yes or no? Is Rush going to win these two games?
I don't think he will.
No.
I don't think
either of them.
I like the Giants. I really do. I like what Brian Daboll's doing in New York. I like Saquon and his athleticism.
1-1. Can the Cowboys go 1-1 on their next two and be 2-2? RC, can they be 2-2 when they come out of this little stretch in the division?
The Cowboys can be 3-1. Yeah. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. When you watch this defense and the way they play, it's just some of the things Cooper Rush is able to do. You get some more big plays from Pollard, like we saw in the 40-yard scamper to the down the left side, and then he punches it in. Like, this team could be in it. Like, the New York Giants win. They beat the Tennessee Titans, who aren't the Tennessee Titans of old, obviously, because they got their doors blown off the next week. And then, you know, they come and they beat the Carolina Panthers in a game that's kind of back and forth. Baker Mayfield's terrible. Like, they can beat – Dallas Cowboys can beat them. And then you could go beat the Commanders with Carson Wentz. And so we could be sitting and they could be 3-1, and we could just be having to finally acknowledge they looked so bad offensively week one because Tampa's that good defensively. And then Jerry's going to be sitting up here and be like, we might have a quarterback controversy. And if we have a quarterback controversy, then it's good because people are going to buy Cooper Rush jerseys and Dak Prescott jerseys. Look at that. Look at – we are now worth $8.5 billion in 3 cents. Like, that's where Jerry Jones is.
That's exactly right. Prescott is one situation. Parsons is an entirely other one. And there is there's no controversy about who the best player on that team is right now. All right, we'll break briefly on that thought. Mitchell Trubisky. Well, he wasn't that bad last night. He wasn't that spectacular either. Mike Tomlin says he's not making a quarterback change. Is that the right call? Stephen A., RC, Marcus Spears, and more debating that as they get going. Top of the hour right here on ESPN. All right, top-ranked boxing tonight. Fascinating story. Shakur Stevenson missed weight yesterday. He's going to be stripped of his belts even if he beats Robson Conceição in the main event. But Conceição will win both belts if he wins. Coverage of the main card begins 10 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Deportes, with ESPN Plus coverage of the prelims beginning at 6 in English and in Spanish. Let's finish it with the matchup this weekend that should be spotlighted by those two, the legends, two of the greatest of all time. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers going head-to-head for the fifth time. Brady's team has won three of the previous four matchups. Rodgers and the Packers, of course, are looking to get their offense going, but that's going to be tough. He has 10 career interceptions against Tampa, his second most against any franchise. We'll see if he can get going. And as far as Brady is concerned, he's going to be playing without Mike Evans, who, of course, will serve that one-game suspension for his role in that fight. It's a tough loss because the Bucs are already dealing with injuries to Julio Jones and Chris Godwin. So in the very quick moment that we have left, RC, what happens? What exactly does Tampa's offense, let's focus on them, what do they look like without all their receivers?
Listen, it's going to be about the run game and creating enough plays in the passing game to continue to get first downs. And you saw Scotty Miller, you saw Breshad Perriman and those guys using. We'll have to see some more of them this week. But it's going to be about what Leonard Fournette can do in the run game and this dominant defense we've seen through the first 2 weeks of this season. This looks like the team, at least defensively, that won the Super Bowl. And that's what we expected from a team led from the top down by Todd Bowles.
And we would expect them to get better as they get healthier and the season goes on. But let's put the picks up there, because earlier this morning, everybody was on Tampa on this set, but we didn't have David in the conversation. David Pollack is on the Packers. Pollack, why do you like Green Bay?
Because like Tampa.
I think this is picky. Correct. The graphic is a big deal, because y'all agree on every daggone pick, every single time, for goodness sakes. I think Aaron Jones has as much to say as Leonard Fournette does in this matchup. I think you saw him last week, and they did a really good job getting him on the edges, getting him the football. I think this running game for Green Bay, and again, this defense for Green Bay is legit, and Tom Brady obviously without a lot of his weapons. So I think this will be a very good back-and-forth game, but I'll take the Packers.
What do you think, Sacho?
Yeah, I mean, if anybody's legit, it's the Tampa Bay defense. If anybody can stop the run, it's the Tampa Bay, it's Todd Bowles and the Tampa Bay defense. So for me, I think that they've got the advantage in all those categories. And you go to offensively, both quarterbacks have struggled a little bit and only two touchdowns. So I'm going with that Tampa defense. That's why I think Tampa's going to win.
And Graziano, you're not making a pick because it is your game. What are the important things you know leading into this matchup?
Look, I mean, Green Bay's at least got their guys for the most part on offense. It's just their guys aren't who they want them to be yet. And in terms of the run game, they have two guys that can beat you. A.J. Dillon was the guy in week one, not Aaron Jones. So now they can run both of them, put them both on the field at the same time. I don't know. I think Green Bay's the healthier team offensively.
Nobody's running against Tampa. It just doesn't happen. They don't run against Todd Bowles.
Who would have thought that in a game between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, the most intriguing prospect would be the under? But I think that's the way we're looking at this one. RC, we'll see you on First Take. David, we'll see you on College Game Day. Awesome. And we will see you back in Better Than Here on Monday as we look forward to a great weekend of football. Enjoy it all. First Take starts now.